Praise the Lord. You know, this is Memorial Weekend, and first of all, I can't forget this. For Kevin Graves, he's a missionary that we support in China. He had contacted me last week. He is home in the States, and he asked if he could come. I asked if he could come and share. But he's not able to be here on a Sunday. The only day he has in his schedule, because he's going to all these churches, is June 10th on Monday night. So what I did was he's going to come here on June 10th, Monday night at 7 o'clock, Kevin Graves, a missionary that we support in China. He got saved in this church, went to Elam Bible College, and then went to China and started Campus Target, underground churches and things like that. And I think, Sherry, you ministered with him you and Roger, right, for a year, a couple years? And so he had mentioned that to me. So he's going to be here June 10th on a on a Monday night at 7 p.m. So if you can come out, he's just going to share the word. He's going to share what's been going on in his life, because we never get a chance to have him come here. So just wanted to, you know, put that out there. And if you can make it, it'd be awesome. I'm inviting other churches, because other churches support him around the area. So if you can come out, that'd be great. Hey, this is Memorial Weekend, and I just want to say a prayer, because before we get into the word, because we're really praying and we're remembering the fallen soldiers that have given us freedom. Freedom. And I thought about that this morning and last night, and I want to pray for families, but I also want to remember the freedom that one man went to the cross that gave us freedom. And in all this is why we sing, this is why we worship, this is why we pray, this is why we come to church, this is why we serve, this is why we give, is because of the freedom that he has given us. And so my prayer this morning is that the people, the families that have lost loved ones, and even the ones that are in war now, that they would receive Jesus and know the freedom. They were fighting for our freedom. Jesus went to the cross for our freedom. So we can pray for freedom for our families and people we know this weekend, but it really doesn't work unless they know Jesus. Because there's always going to be this struggle without Christ, who is our freedom. So I just want us to just take a minute, and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray not only for the families, but that this world would see Jesus. That's the most important thing. I mean, we can say a prayer, but unless they have Jesus, they're not going to be able to make it. Through the confusion and through the struggles and through the discouragement and disappointments. But Jesus is our Prince of Peace. And so let's just take a moment right now. You may even know families, but God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you on this weekend, on this day. Lord, every day should be a memorial day of remembrance. The memorial of that you went to the cross for our freedom. And so, Lord, that we could stand here and we could pray and say, Lord, show yourself real to the families that are struggling this morning, that have struggled over the past years, that have lost loved ones, maybe fathers, maybe daughters, sons, mothers. God, that you would be with them. But Lord, I pray today, Lord, that your name would be proclaimed in all the earth, that you are the freedom that we need. Lord, we ask that you would just pour yourself into these families, into the friends of these families. Lord, we're praying this morning especially for they need Jesus. Lord, that you would send us, that you would send the church, that we would be there in this time, that this isn't just a weekend to remember or a day to remember, but every single day, Lord, that you would show us who we need to come in contact with for them to be released through your name and freedom in who you are. Be with these families, Lord. be with these families. Lord, that you would bring your comfort and your peace because you are the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I love the worship this morning. It is all about freedom in Jesus. If we don't have Jesus, we don't have that freedom. We'd have nothing to go to. We have no one to turn to but Jesus. And this morning, you know, I want to kind of continue where we were last week in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to read that. And this morning, the title of my message is, What Do You See? What do you see? And so, chapter 4, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. For who hath despised the day of small things, small beginnings? And that's what I want to talk about this morning is, church, what do you see? Because he's looking at a pile of, Zerubbabel is looking at a pile of ruins of what has been a beautiful city, a beautiful temple, a center of worship, and now it's in ruins. We talked about, I'm just going to recap last week. More than a decade earlier, 50,000 exiles, the Jewish people, came back into Jerusalem with permission to rebuild the temple. However, only the altar was built. That was it. Only the altar was built. And the temple wasn't finished. Only the altar had been rebuilt, and it had stopped. It had stopped because of discouragement. It has to stop because of no resources. It has stopped because the leaders were being discouraged and being threatened, and you can't do this, you can't build this. And it was coming not just from the world, but it was also coming from the very people that were building it. They became discouraged. And so as we talk about this morning, what do you see? He saw nothing but rubble, an unfinished temple. He saw discouragement. He had a vision, but discouragement, he lost his vision. Discouragement lost his vision. The lack of provision halted this rebuilding. Church, we cannot lose our vision. People, we cannot lose our vision. What do you see? Do you see a pile of rubble? Or do you see the vision that God has given you and I for this church and for you personally? It starts, you know, Proverbs 29 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's what happened at this time. The vision was gone. Discouragement came. Lack of resources came. People kept on coming and telling them, you can't do this. People left. In fact, when you read this whole story, is they went back to building their own homes. They went back to furnishing their own homes. And God even said, you mean you left the temple to go worry about yourself? And sometimes we do that. What do you see? Well, I see my house, my home, unfinished. So I guess I can go there because no one's going to discourage me from going back home and finishing my house. Man, when I read that, they left the temple of worship and they said, we're going back to our own home. No one's going to discourage us there. I have resources to build my house. And so we can't lose the vision that God has given Calvary Gospel. The vision just didn't come when my wife and I came here. The vision was always here the first day these doors were open. You're here today because God's placed you here. And the Bible says he places you where he sees fit, in the body of Christ. You're here for a purpose. We can't lose that vision. And so it starts vision, you know, the rebuilding. It starts with small beginnings. Small beginnings. He's sitting there looking at a pile of rubble, unfinished. But I want you to catch this. Small beginnings start with a proper foundation. Proper foundation. And so the eyes, it says, the eyes rejoice to see the plumb line. And this is really, I'm going to camp out here for a little while, because I want you to catch this. Because without a proper foundation, you will not rebuild anything. What is your proper foundation? Who is your foundation? And so he says, the eyes of the Lord, it says, rejoices and when they see him hold the plumb line. And do you know what a plumb line is? I'm going to explain it to you best I can. A plumb line, it's really a level. In our days, it's a level. But in their days, a plumb line was a string, and at the bottom of the string or cord was a non-magnetic weight, and it's attached to the end. So when the cord was held in such a way that the weight could just dangle freely, it gave them a point of reference. It's the plumb line, right there. That is where it all starts. And so, and he says there that he held the plumb line, and the eyes of Jesus rejoiced when they saw him do that. And so, it's a plumb line is the level. How are you going to start this foundation? You know, there's carpenters in here, and you know you need a level. You can't do this by eye, because I've tried to do that when I was rebuilding things in my home. And my dad would always come and say, you need a level. But Dad, I can see it. You know, with my eyes, I can see it. And he looks at me and go, okay. And then, you know, this is how it would be built. And so we need, you carpenters know, you need a level. You need a plumb line. You need a starting point. Before laying any foundation or putting up walls, you have to have a starting point. And so he looks at this and it says, the plumb line that was in his hand, the plummet was in his hand. And I love this. You're going to love this when you start seeing this the way God has showed it to me. A plumb line doesn't change or move, right? If this is the center of this room and this is where we're starting, that never changes. If Jesus is the center of your life, Jesus never changes. Jesus is our plumb line. But if you don't have Jesus, you don't have a starting point. Your starting point is you. And we know where you goes. You goes nowhere. And if it goes somewhere, it's always in the wrong direction. But I want you to see this. They rejoiced when they saw that because the plumb line doesn't change or move. It remains true. And all the work must line up or it will be a crooked start. Think about that. Where are you in your life? Who is your plumb line? Is it your job? Is it your relationships? Is it your money? Is it your retirement? Is it your car, your boat, your home? They're all great things, and we want those things sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with those. But if that's your starting point, it's not going to look good. And so he looks at this rubble, and he says, oh, I'm going to grab the plummet. We're going to start this thing right from the very beginning. A plumb line is used in Scripture. Christ is referred in the Word of God as the cornerstone. We've read it 100 times. He is the principal foundational stone on which the church must be built. It's Jesus. So if Jesus is going to build his church, and he is going to be the plumb line, and he is going to be the rock on which we build this thing, then we need Jesus. We need Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for there is no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. This is simple, but this is helpful when you see it. 1 Peter 2:6 says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, an elect, precious, and he who believes on him will no means be put to shame. We sang about it. He is our cornerstone. He is our plumb line. He is where we start. So when you look at the rubble in your life and you look at the discouragement in your life, we are going back. That's why God gave me that word to speak to the church this morning. Hey, you can be in the storm, but as long as you made the plumb line, as long as you have a starting point and it is Jesus, it's okay. But see, we get all confused when Jesus isn't our starting point. That's where we get confused and discouraged. Isaiah 28:17 says, also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. Wow. Righteousness the plummet. This is a promise of unshakable kingdom, which is Jesus Christ. He is setting up his kingdom. He's saying, man, if you, church, could see me for who I really am, not who the world tries to tell you who I am, Not maybe who your family told you who I am, but if you would know who I am and having a relationship with me and know that I am the starting point, I am the rock in which this is going to be, your life is going to be built on, I am the plummet, I am the plumb line. I want you to catch that this morning. He has to be your starting point. And so when he was going to rebuild his temple, we talked about it last week. You know, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it was by my spirit, says the Lord. That was the plummet line. It's by my spirit. I want you to catch this. The scriptures are for today. These scriptures have not changed. God has not changed. The world wants you to tell you, oh, that's not for today, you know. I've said this before, oh, you're being too spiritual. You know, what's a little here, a little sin here, a little sin there? What, as long as it doesn't hurt someone. No, Jesus' sin has never changed. The scriptures have never changed. But guess what else has not changed? His love for you and I. His grace for you and I. His compassion for you and I. That hasn't changed either. It's still there. I want you to see this. A plumb line is a direct sign there is a plan and there's a building that's going to start. I want you to catch this again. Phil, you listening? Because Phil always helps me out with these little zingers. He texts me later on. He goes, man, Pastor Tom, that was a good one. A plumb line is a direct sign there is a plan and building's going to start. When Jesus walks into your life, when you receive Christ, and he becomes your starting point, there is transformation that's going to happen. There is something starting in your life. He is the plumb line. I love that. Listen to this. Here's another good one. It's for construction, not destruction. Ooh. God's plumb line, God's coming into your life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm telling you, today is, I want you to hear this. I'm going to try to really, I am so pumped. I am so, like, you got to get this. It'll change your life. People here who are here today are here because of this. They're actually, Lord, just show me people in sections of this church right now that need to hear this is for you. It's not for it's for construction, not destruction. Jesus never came to destroy you. Jesus came to transform you. Jesus came to build you up. Jesus came to give you life. But see, the world wants to tell you, sinner, you no good person, look what you did, look who you are. You could never change, you're worthless, you're not worthy, you're all these things. We even hear that sometimes from our own family. I am telling you again and again, it's for construction, not destruction. And you need to catch that. God's purpose is to transform you into the image of his Son, not destroy you. Come on, church, you got to catch this. It'll change your life. It's the only thing that's changed my life. The plumb line is the mark of a new beginning. It's the beginning of what God can do in you. You want something to happen in your life? Then allow Jesus to be the center of your foundation. Because he has not come here to destroy you. He's come here to build you up. You got to catch this. He's come here to build you up. Don't despise the small beginnings. God is preparing for the big thing through the small things. And he does that all the time. He does it through small things first. You may be saying, you know, I don't have anything and I just feel like, you know, I don't have enough to do whatever I need to do. Hey, God is into small things. And he's here not to destroy you. He's here to build you up. You have to hear that, church. You have to hear that. Hey, the faithful person can see beyond the nothing. The faithful person can see beyond the nothing. When it looks like nothing, if you're faithful and you're walking with God, you see beyond the nothing. You see where God wants to take you. Maybe just a part of it. Maybe you just have a little vision of it. But when you see nothing, the faithful person, the faithful believer, the one that's walking with Christ and putting all these things in order, he can see or she can see beyond the nothing. Can you see beyond the nothing? What do you see? If you see rubble and you stand there, then you're not seeing what God sees. Because God's seeing the nothing and he's going to start giving you something, church. That's why we're still here after all these years, because sometimes you might have felt like, God, what are you doing at this church? What are you doing with these people? What are you doing with our leaders? What are you doing with, and God says, hey, be faithful. Look beyond that stuff. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have a vision for Calvary Gospel. The faithful person can see beyond the nothing. They will not despise the times when small things are happening, because that means big things are coming. God has a plan for you. Number two, small beginnings is how God works. See, we don't want God to work that way. We don't want God to work. Oh, come on, God. Hey, man, you can part the Red Sea. You know, you can raise the dead. You can open up blind eyes. Come on, God. That's what I want to see. But guess what? They couldn't get to the Red Sea unless they went from point A to point B. This is how God works. You may look at your life and say, God, what are you doing? He says, it's how I work. That's what the Lord just gave me to give to the church earlier. Hey, stop looking beyond the storm and believe that in the storm, Jesus is there. Then you will see beyond the storm. But if you're looking beyond the storm, hoping to get out, hoping Jesus is on the other side, Jesus is saying, I'm not on the other side, I'm right here with you. This is how he works. 1 Corinthians 27 through 29, you know the scripture. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And these base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Come on, this is how he works. That's you and I. That's you and I. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh will glory in my presence. This is how God works. Are you getting this? This is how he works. And you wake up and you've been praying for things, and there's sometimes, bam, God just doesn't. He just does it. He does a miracle. But when he doesn't do it instantly, is he still God in your life? Is he still the foundation? Is he still the plumb line? Is he still the rock in which you're going to stand? Is he still the rock in which you're going to build your life? This is how he works. Through Abraham's descendant, he was promised to him that all nations of the earth would be blessed. One person. And we know that whole story, how he messed that up, Abraham. But God never left him. God said, I made a promise. I'm still going to give it to you. But man, you didn't wait for it. So now we have a little mess. That's how God works. By one person, he said, I would do it for you. Abraham didn't wait. To deliver his people from Egypt, God sends a little baby in Moses in a basket. Think about it. Here's the beginning. This is how God works. Look at your life. A little shepherd boy conquers Goliath, kills Goliath. 12 uneducated men turn. We are here. Think about it. Think about it. We're here because of 12 disciples, 12 carpenters, tent makers, fishermen that had no clue what they were doing. And that they let God created in them the New Testament church. Can God do that with you? If you think your life is so messed up, hey, they weren't any more messed up than Peter's life. Wasn't any more messed up than David's life. Wasn't any more messed up than Moses' life. Come on, these are all people, murderers, adulterers, people who lied, people who didn't wait for the promise. In that, God's still working on it. He hasn't given up. 5 loaves and 2 fishes feed 15,000 people. Gideon with 300 men conquers 135,000 men. This is how God works. The King of Kings is born in a stable, not a palace. This is how he works. If he's going to do that all through Scripture, he's going to do that with you. I don't care where you think you are in life. I don't even care if you don't even believe in God and you're sitting here today. I don't care. Because what I do know is God still loves you, and he still has a plan whether you believe in him or not. And he's just waiting for you to say, you're it. You're my plummet. You're my firm foundation. You're my starting point. That's all he's waiting for. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done, because Jesus already knows what you've done. He's just looking for you to say, I blew it again, but I know you're there. That's all he's waiting for. Number three, Small beginnings tell of God's faithfulness. Oh, I love that. Small beginnings tell. If you don't have a small beginning, who wants to hear like, oh, I woke up one morning and there was $1 million sitting on my mattress. I'd love to see that. Oh, you know, this was given to me. How many times are you hear this from people and families who have just like given their kids everything, and their kids sometimes have not appreciated what they've received? And so I'm not saying God works like this all the time, because God can do anything he wants to do. But what I'm saying is, in small beginnings, we get to see, tell of God's faithfulness. How my life was messed up, and I went to church every day, and my life was messed up. Why? Because I didn't have Jesus as my plummet line. I had my parents, I had the church, I had my pastor, I had my friends, and I was all looking at that as saying, oh, you must be my starting point. They're not. Jesus is. And so I'm here to tell you, I can speak of his faithfulness. What about the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with her perfume? A little bottle of perfume, cracks it open, anoints his feet, and everyone got all upset. Oh, you could have used this money to feed the poor. It would have been a year's wages, da-da-da-da-da. They all went on, and these are the disciples. This is the church. You know, sometimes we still run our mouth when it's not appropriate, and we look at things. And Jesus' response, I love this. Truly, I tell you, whether this gospel is, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Over 2,000 years later, we're still speaking about the faithfulness of God. And now the disciples looked at it and said, why are you spending and wasting that money? Because someday Pastor Tom is going to get up there and he's going to teach on this, and he's going to tell the church small beginnings are okay because it tells the faithfulness of God. Your life may be a small beginning, but you're going to get to tell the world of the faithfulness of God. What about the 120 in the upper room? They gave their soul, their mind, and their body to God, and God gave them the Holy Ghost and the honor of starting the New Testament church. Here's 120 men. We read about it. Oh, it's a great story. 120 stay there until the Holy Spirit shows up, and then the power will be all over you, and you'll speak in different languages, and oh, yeah, stay there. We read the story like it's just some fairy tale, and it's like, oh, that was sounded nice. Oh, that was cool. We mean it's cool. It is the faithfulness of God that 120 stayed and obeyed God, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with power, starting the churches. That's the faithfulness of God. Small beginnings tells God's faithfulness. Man, am I the only one that's getting excited over this? I mean, you catch this, it'll change your life. Take one of these points, it'll change your life. Number four, small beginnings prepare us to endure. It's going to be an endurance, but that's okay, because the more I endure, the more I know who God is, the more I have a relationship with God, the more I know who his son is, the more I know who he is and how much he loves me and how much grace he has, how much mercy he has, and how much he loves me to correct me even when I'm making mistakes. This isn't all about grace. It's all about grace when we fall to be lifted up and learn and be corrected by Jesus. And so small beginnings is where we endure with God. Galatians 6:9. And let us not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We can't give up. We can't give up. It's all in the process of endurance. Bible talks about running a race. We have to do this. God isn't searching for us to understand all his details. See, I meet people sometimes that want to know all about what God's plan is. I can't tell you what God's plan is. I know what his mission is, to save the lost and to change you and to transform you into the image of Christ. But he has a plan for you. And it's for you. The same plan is for you isn't for me, but the same plan he has for you. It's time to stand there and say, God, I may not see the whole thing, but you've given me a vision. You've given me a foundation to stand on. You've given me a starting point. And I'm going to walk with that starting point. See, he seeks after hearts that will surrender to him. When you get into a place and you're saying, Lord, I don't know what to do, then surrender to Jesus. That's all he wants you to do. Because in surrender means you give up and I get to allow Jesus to do what he wants to do. Surrender. It will work. It will work. God isn't searching for us to understand all the details. He calls us, and our response should always be to abide in Jesus. Our endurance to endure, abide in Christ. In those small beginnings, abide in him. Two more. Small beginnings are meant to prepare us to be confident. It's a process that God says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus. Hey, you can have confidence in your life. You can have confidence of where you are because Jesus says so. And he's going to finish it. He started it, and he's going to finish it. Small beginnings is where we build our confidence in Jesus. When we serve the Lord, our service flows from the victory he has already secured for us through his death and his resurrection. That's why we have confidence. When you're going through something in your life and you're saying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to go through this. I'm starting to get discouraged. And he's saying, that's okay. Be confident that I'm going to finish what I started in your life. I'm going to finish it. Because why? Because of my resurrection. And I sit at the right hand of the Father. Because I'm alive. And that's the promise I gave you. Our confidence is in the finished work of Christ. See, we don't understand that. We think we're waiting for God to finish something. Oh, God, maybe you're going to finish this so that I can get better. No, he's already finished it at the cross. That's what our confidence is in. It's in his finish. Can you imagine having confidence in something that wasn't finished? That's an oxymoron. I mean, that is like stupid. I'm going to put my faith in something that's not finished. Don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm going to hope it's going to work. Who does that? You don't. But when Jesus says, what I started, I'm going to finish, that's why in small beginnings, when you look at it and you see the rubble and you see the unfinished work and you see this process, you say, wait a minute, Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work is going to finish it until the day that Jesus comes. He's not going to stop. Hallelujah. Thank God he doesn't stop. Here's the last one. Small beginnings are meant to prepare us to be humble. We don't want to be humble. Come on, it's our nature to make sure that we are number one, that everyone sees us. It was all because of me. It's all because of what I've done. And look at me. Come on, we struggle with that. If you don't, man, thank you're doing really good. If you don't struggle with that sometimes, you're doing really good. Small beginnings, they prepare us to be humble. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and I love this, and he shall lift you up. Wow. I don't have to ever worry about being lifted up. I don't have to ever worry about anything, because if I'm humble, my Jesus, the creator of all the everything, the creator of the universe, creator of everything, is going to lift me up. Wow. I'd rather have my Jesus lift me up than me lift me up. Think about it. Think about that. I am reminded that God is big enough, listen to this, if he's big enough to create the world and speak life into everything, okay, I want you to let that sink in. He's created everything. He's big enough to do all that by his word, by his breath, yet God is small enough to pay attention to us. And he knows us and loves us, and he's always there to meet our need. Wow. See, the world wants you to say, God is so big, he is so spiritual, he's this mystic spirit. I don't know what he is and where he is and what he looks like. And people talk about God, but he's way out there. No. God is all that and more, created everything, and yet he looks down on us in this smallness and says, I love you. I know who you are, and it's okay. Tell me who would do that. Tell me who would do that. Tell me one of these athletes and actors and all these well-known people that are just mega money, mega stars, mega everything. You ever try to walk up to one of them and, hey, I want to get to know you? It's like, who are you? Think about it. We get to shake their hand if you go to a ball game. Maybe you get an autograph. Michael Jordan's not going to call you on the phone. Right? Tiger Woods is not going to call me. If I ask him to give me lessons, I don't know who you are, but it's going to cost you $500 an hour. Oh, wait a minute. I know someone who's created all this, and still he comes to my smallness. And guess what? Doesn't cost me $500 an hour. It's free. In Jesus. Doesn't get any better than this. With Jesus. In his smallness. God, sometimes we never think of God being small. But he's so big that he can be small enough to pay attention to you and I. Don't go around comparing yourself to others. Let God do the measuring and the weighing. He measures for eternity, and that's all that counts. Think about it. We want to be puffed up and lifted up and exalted by all this world. And Jesus says, let me do the weighing. Let me do the measuring, because mine's based on eternity. And you're going to be much happier in eternity. I'm going to read this last verse and we're finished. I thought this was really cool, this verse. So have you caught this? If you need to get your phones out and take a picture of this, of these proper foundation, how God works, his faithfulness, we endure through small beginnings, confident through small beginnings, being humble through small beginnings. Man, this is going to change your life. It's going to change your life. I'm going to read this last verse, couple scriptures. This is really cool. When the apostles were told not to teach about Jesus anymore, and it's in Acts chapter 5, they're thrown in prison, you know, they're always just talking about Jesus, they don't care, and they're thrown in prison, all of a sudden an angel comes at the end, and the prison opens up the doors, and all of a sudden the disciples are outside of the prison. We know the story, right? And all of a sudden all of the magistrates, the guards, and all these leaders are like, wait, you were in prison. Now, how did you get out of prison? Everyone's panicking. And I love this. This is how we're going to end this. It's like, man, catch this. Acts 5:35 through 39. Men of Israel, take care of what you are about to do with these men. I tell you, keep away from them, from these men, and let them alone. For if it's this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. Is that what that says? Let's see now. For before the rose of a number of men, about 100, joined themselves who were slain and all. No, that's not right. Scattered about to know. Go to verse 36. Okay, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Okay, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. A version I have says that it will fail. But if it is God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. Wow. Ooh. Think about that. Think about that. So I want that to sink in for a minute. When it's God, nothing can stop it. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. What God has purposed in your life and what God has purposed in this church, I want you to catch this, what he's purposed in this church will happen. Whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. Because God will find a remnant. He will find a people to do what he's called this church to do. Because he's not going to give up on his plan or his purpose. He's going to do it. And you and I are able to sit here, stand here, and be here and say, God, use me. use me. God, we know it's you. Nothing can come against that. Nothing can come against that. He has a plan and a purpose for this church. He always did, always will. And we need to stay with the vision that God has given us for this church. Go after the lost. Raise up leaders. Go into the cities. Raise up missionaries. Send people out. You know what God's been putting on my heart? Because it doesn't just stop with this church. And we prayed this on what last two Wednesday nights ago. We send a lot of missionaries out to, we send a lot of young people to go on mission trips. And we support a lot of missionaries. We're a mission church. But God gave me this word 2 weeks ago that are we just raising up leaders to send out into another country, or also are we raising up leaders to go plant churches? This world needs churches, not buildings. They need people who are going to walk into the cities around here and say, you need Jesus. Why? Because God loves you. You're looking for an answer, it's Jesus. And so he has a purpose. Out of this church already, when this church first started, there was two church plants, one in Oneida and one in Rome. God's not done with this church. He's not done with this church. He's saying we have a God has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. And it's time to say, Lord, show us what we have to do to raise up the people that you have called to send out after the lost. Not just missionaries. Not just send them on short mission trips. Maybe not just send them away for 2 years or 3 years, but God, let's go plant churches if you want. Let's go find a building where God isn't there in that city or that place, and let's go start a Bible study. Let's go bring Jesus to a dying world. It's awful quiet. But you know, it's God already, anything I've just said, God has already done it in this church. He's already planted churches. He's already sent out many missionaries. We have people that have been saved here. They're president of a Bible college. They've started churches. We have people, Kevin Graves coming, who's gone to China and lived there. Okay? So everything I'm saying is that God has already done. Was all he's doing now is saying, hey, Calvary Gospel, are you ready for another wave of Jesus? Are you ready for another wave of Jesus? Are you ready for another move of the Holy Spirit like it did in the 70s? I'm still praying for this front row to be all full of these young people. And I always told Elena, you don't move, you don't move, you don't move, you don't move, because they need you. I mean, I could... God wants to do something. He's just waiting for his people. Just, I surrender. I don't know if I'm fit for your kingdom, God. There's probably people here to look at him and going, oh, Pastor Tom, I couldn't, don't, I'm being honest with you people. His plan has never changed. A new wave of God is going to be moving through this place. So the person who's sitting here today saying, I could never match up, no, you are it. If you're here, sitting here, you heard the word, you've heard the message. Guess what? It's tough luck that you were here today. Now you're accountable. We're all accountable. God, have your way. It's a new move. It's a fresh move. But it's the same mission, just a different method. The mission is lost. The mission is go out. The mission is make disciples. The method may change. The mission hasn't. You're here today. You've heard the word. Now go home and say, Lord, I got to get my act together. But God, I know you're not waiting for me to get my act together to go do something at Calvary. My act is, will I surrender? That's all he's saying. Let us stand, close in prayer. Lord Jesus, there is none like you. You're an awesome God. You know what I love about you, Lord, that there's times when I stand up here and I say, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. Oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that word. Oh, that word was for so-and-so. God rebukes me every time and says, who do you think you are that the word isn't still for you? I don't preach to you. I only give you what I've had to repent from for the last week studying this word. That's all I'm giving you. That's all I'm giving you. But another thing God just showed me, who is here belongs here. And who didn't come, didn't come. Small beginnings. This church started in a small beginning, and it had a fresh move of God in the 70s where this place was filled. It had a fresh move of God when all these families from Russia came, all your families came, a fresh move of God. And as all I'm saying is, Lord, I surrender as your leader, as your shepherd, because you're the great shepherd. Lord, I surrender myself to you, and I hopefully this church would get this and say, Lord, we all surrender ourselves to you because we want a fresh move of God. We want this place filled up, not just with church people, but with the lost. And so, God, we just say, thank you, Father, for who is here today heard the word of God, and that we all would go home and say, Lord, I need you to be my plummet line, to be my firm foundation. You are my starting point, even if I have to start over again. Even if I have to start over again, I'm going to make this straight, not crooked. And I thank you for that. And I just say, Lord, thank you. Have your way in this church. Bring blessing and favor as we continue to search out you and seek you and who you are. I love this church, God. I love these people. That you've given me. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Come on downstairs and fellowship. Greet somebody you've never seen before.